This morning, we will give a bit of time to consideration of the soles of our feet and the soles of our fellowship. I'd like to have you bow with me for prayer as we get underway. Our dear Heavenly Father, we look to you now for our help, for every encouragement, for every blessing, for those sweet little whisperings of the Spirit that might accompany the things spoken from this pulpit, things only that can be addressed to people in their particular circumstance of life today. We desire, dear Heavenly Father, that the soles of our feet might walk in the path of obedience. Help us in that for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in the course of our frequent expeditions to the marketplace, exchange occurs. Goods and services for cash and credit. And there, a retail barcode scanner records the vote of every consumer, item by item. You know, we buy what we like and what we need over and over and over again. And we are able to make that exchange speedily, some more speedily than others. A valuable tool this barcode scanner is at the point of sale. The retailer can digitally observe inventory levels, instantaneously can observe top-selling products, and restock accordingly. Every time you purchase, you vote. Every time you purchase, you vote. That's a message to the retailer. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. If you want to keep them coming, you better keep it coming. Numbers chapter 13, please, for our lesson this morning. In the scriptures, at Numbers chapter 13, records a tragic vote on the part of Israel here. At Numbers chapter 13, verse number 17, we find that they went shopping. Numbers 13, verse 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, or and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men come to Hamath. Then down in verse number 27, they're on this shopping trip. They told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Introduced then a tragedy, verse number 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. Here we find that the majority wasn't buying. We come to verse number 31. The men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. You know, their only input here was what they saw. Just what they saw. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. You know what? They never interviewed one of those giants. And yet they come back with a report as though they had spoken directly to them. So here we see that the majority of the people would not buy the souls, their souls, S-O-L-E-S, are reluctant and hesitant and disobedient, and they would for 40 years affect the souls, S-O-U-L-S, they would affect the souls of their fellowship. The soles of their feet would walk in circles in the wilderness, according to Numbers 14, verse 33, and that due primarily to one cause, overriding every consideration in each of our illustrations today, is faithlessness. Faithlessness concludes this. It will not be, it cannot be, even as God has said it would be. I don't believe it. And so they went on that shopping trip, and there was a tragic vote taken, and the people, voting with their feet, would not enter the land. Now come to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Here we find, by the way, this provides afterward, after the event there in Numbers, much later than God provided for. Deuteronomy 11, verses 1 to 32, provides, first of all, provides for advancement in the will of God. Simply this, in verse number 24, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. Please note it says in verse 24, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread. Here God provides for advancement in the will of God, getting his people to head in the direction that he would bring them to a specific place and fulfill a specific purpose. Those three things. Provision for advancement to a specific place and for a specific purpose. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. Now I want to have you look with me just a little bit closer at the material that is before us. First of all, we note in verse number 2 of Deuteronomy 11, God's power. Know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm. This obviously in demonstration right through verse number 8. Concerning his miracles, which he did in the midst of Egypt. All those plagues are referenced there. And what he did to the army of Egypt at the Red Sea. How he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow as they pursued after you. Now keep in mind, what we're reading now should serve as the basis of faith for that generation and for every other generation. When you think about all that God can do and all that God would ask of you to do, all he wishes is to establish the direction of the soles of your feet in the path of obedience. And we can believe him. We can believe everything that he says will come to pass concerning us individually and as a church and as our nation is concerned. Verse 5, and what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came to this place. Now that in itself is a great story, what he did to the people of Israel in the wilderness. They were spinning around for 40 years, and you know what? They never wore their shoes out, never went without a meal. And what they pulled up short on God for when they saw the giants, he proved them to be wrong in the wilderness. And what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, swallowed them up, their households, their tents, all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore, direction now. You shall keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong, go in, and possess the land whither you go to possess it. There's the direction. You follow this on down, a specific place of God. And we look in verse number 11, the land whither you go to possess is a land of hills and valleys. Isn't that the way life is? Isn't that the way your life and mine is? Sometimes on the hilltops, sometimes in the valleys. And drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. God's partiality here demonstrated. Israel is under his special care then and now. The land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. From the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year, even today, his eyes are upon the nation. It shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto my commandments, verse 13, which I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now here's a promise of God, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. The first rain, the latter rain, that you may gather corn, wine, oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for the cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. But then verse 16 introduces us to personal responsibility. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Be careful what direction the soles of your feet go forth from here. Because if indeed the soles of your feet go in an opposite direction or a contrary direction, you have this part as well in verse 17, the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you and he shut up heaven, that there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. And here's a guide for the heart, for the soul. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a signpost or a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontless between your eyes. You shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, the days of your children in the land. So there's some guidance to the heart. There is the admonition of the Lord to give these things to your household. And then in verse number 22, if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto him. Now there you have a combination of the soul, S-O-L-E, and soul, S-O-U-L. The walk and the cleaving. The walk has to do with the soles of your feet. The cleaving has to do with your soul, that invisible, immaterial part of man that serves or is the impetus for all the decisions and choices that you make. And then verse 24 says, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. Question is, will God's people buy in? The soles of their feet would dynamically affect the souls of the fellowship. How would the vote turn out? Well, consider this, just as a sidelight. Our tracks create an established trail that can be traced back to what we really think is important. How many times has the clerk at the counter asked you for your zip code when you complete a transaction? How many times have they asked for your email to keep in touch with you, to send you coupons and sale advertisements, as they say? The retailer knows where you live, what the demographic is of the customers that come into a store, when they come. Do they come on the same day every week? Do they come on the same time every month? Do they spend approximately the same amount of money when they come? Do they typically buy the same product when they arrive here? You can tell all that. And so basically your tracks create a well-established trail that what can be traced back to what you think is important. Where we dig our heels in speaks tons as to our commitment. So you need to be careful where you dig your heels in on something. Be careful where you dig your heels in. We come to Joshua chapter 3 in context, verse 13. And again, this draws attention to this voting process. Joshua chapter 3 at verse 13. It shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. It draws attention again to a voting process. As soon as the soles of the feet of the priests rest in Jordan, by faith, the passage to the place of God's choosing would be provided. And so there they are. The priests are standing right at the brink of a floody river. And behind them, a couple of million people, all their livestock, all their worldly possessions. And there they face a river, Jordan, flooded, deep. Now will they buy in or will they dig in? Will the priest looking at that obstacle say, I can't do this, I won't do this, I'm not going to get my feet muddy? You see the current on that thing? You want me to step into the brim of the river? Do you really, Lord? And you're asking us to do all this, and I see on the other side of that, I see that big old fortress Jericho, and you want us to cross this river just to get into a fight with those giants on the other side? Are you crazy? But would the priests vote for God or not? Well, they did. In verse 15. As they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks. At the time of harvest, they voted. It says their feet, the soles of their feet were dipped into the brim. And guess what? A crossing came wide open. Wide open. But it is one thing for the priest to vote. It is one thing for a pastor to commit to vote. It's another thing for the people. And so the priest stepped into the brim of the water. What would the people do now? Well, the waters coming downstream stood up on a heap. They could see that. And of course, after that stood up, it waters going downstream were no more. They just stopped. And there was a barrier there. But there are the people. 2 million plus, with all their stuff, would they buy in or would they dig in? Well, the soles of their feet would affect the soles of the fellowship. And vote they did with their feet. Verse 17. The priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst, where? In the midst of Jordan. You know what they had? Do you see any indication here that that firm from Brackenridge, Pennsylvania, called Unflooded, showed up here at the Jordan River with all their stuff and suctioned out all the water and the mud from off the surface or the riverbed, and then put their massive industrial fans blowing across there to dry it all out? Do you see any indication of any human effort to clean up the mud? Anything there at all? Well, the reason is because God did it. He doesn't need human help. But that, you see, that crossing come wide open, that was the path of obedience. That is where God wanted them to go through. 40 years before, they went across that river. They liked what they saw on the land, but they didn't like the inhabitants, and so they wouldn't. They wouldn't vote. They did vote with their feet, however, and they kept throwing in the same ballot 40 years in a row. Was that dumb? So here we are. Verse 17. The priests bear the ark. And then it says, all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. On dry ground. Be sure of one thing. We will never get our feet, the soles of our feet, muddy when we walk where and when God wants us to be. We will never have to worry about muddy feet. In chapter 4, verse number 18, came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up into dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned into their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And that they could see too. Now, what is left? The grasshoppers to confront the giants. We come to Joshua chapter 6. And here again, the soles of their feet. They would be called upon to vote. Called upon to vote. Hey, it's one thing to take a walk in the desert. It's another thing to show up at the beach, even if the river's flooded. It's another thing to go from one side of the river to the other without incident. It's another thing altogether to come up to a mighty fortress peopled by valiant warriors, experienced warriors, and face the dreaded prospect and the likely potentiality of your demise. Quite another thing. So here again, the soles of their feet would need to vote. Would it be critical? Yes. I would have you look, please, that over and over in Joshua chapter 6, there's the word compassed. And that implies that they were making tracks. For example, verse 3 says, you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And so the soles of the feet of the armed men would go around that fortress once every day, 6 days, making tracks. This city was important to them. And by the grace of God, they were committed to its overthrow, because if they didn't, it was in such a strategic location that it would always be a thorn in their side. If it was allowed to stand, if Israel decided that, okay, we're here in the promised land, but why poke the bear? Let's just go around the city and keep go on our way. Let them have this place. If they'd opted to do that, while it might make sense, and by the way, that doesn't allow for any casualties. They wouldn't have gotten any wounds inflicted. That's the easy way around it, literally. But that, you know what? That wasn't the way God wanted them to go about it. Sometimes though, battle is not what you really want to do. Sometimes battle is exactly what is required. Sometimes there can be no peace obtained until the enemy is defeated. They didn't enter into negotiations with them. Except for one, old Rahab. She did them a favor, but the word compassed implies they were making tracks, creating a trail. And would this be all that important to them, or would they dig in their heels just short of the objective? Well, verse 20 of chapter 6 says they bought in. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. Came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They voted with their feet. They just didn't stand back and hold the coats of the military and say, go ahead, sick them. We'll clap for you, we'll cheer for you, we'll pray for you. And we won't let your cloaks get dirty. We'll hold your jackets while you go fight. No. They all went into the city. You know, and before that time, they're probably looking at those walls. Massive walls. Somewhere around 30 feet thick. Sufficiently high to keep out any invader. And they're thinking to themselves, you know, they have us at a disadvantage because the only way inside that place is through the front gate. Look at all those soldiers hanging over the wall up there. You know what? God never told them, never told the people that he was going to bring the walls down. He never told them. All he said was, go forward. Vote with your feet. Go in that direction. And when they did, the walls came down. And I'm happy to report that in this occasion, in this battle, that no doubt the War College of the United States Army would have probably sketched out that they could count on probably 40% casualty rate, maybe even 100% casualty rate for the enemy, but 40% on our side. I want to report to you that after this battle was over, there was not one single wound in the body of one single Israelite soldier, not one, because they voted with their feet and they walked in the path of obedience. The walls came down and then it was their Rubicon. There was no turning back. You see, once the walls came down, if you have any doubts about what the mission is and you decide, look at the size of those guys, look at the armor they got, and all of a sudden you turn back, then with the walls down, they have hasty access to you as well. So once the walls come down, there's no turning back. They had to be committed to the objective. They voted with their feet. Interesting that our Lord himself voted with his feet. In Luke 24, verse 39 and verse 40. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Verse number 39, as he appears to his loved ones, why do thoughts arise in your hearts, doubtful thoughts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Jesus voted with his feet. They put the cross on his back. Up Calvary's mountain he walked, and the soles of his feet went right to the top. The soles of his feet were affixed to the cross. His hands likewise. And he was raised up and crucified. I remember back in the early part of the first part of the Iraq War. Do you remember how hair-raising it was when the Iraqis went to the polls and voted, and they came away proof that they had voted with their blue finger as evidence that they had voted. When I saw that, I said, well, that's just great. And you realize that they had, I think, almost, I don't know if it was 100% voting turnout. And I said, you know, here in America, you can't even get Christian people to get to the polls and vote. Because they don't have to. You don't have to. There, they went to the polls and they voted. They put their life on the line. There, at Calvary's cross, our Savior willingly suffered. And He walked up that mountain and He allowed those soldiers that He could have quickly dispersed to pound His feet into the cross. He was committed to the mission. There was no turning back for Him. When He appeared on the scene in Bethlehem stable, and when He went to the cross from that point to this point, there was no turning back for Him. The plan of redemption was underway. Did He think His commission all that important, do you suppose? To come and to set the prisoners free? Is there a trail tracing back to Calvary? Can we there find evidence of deep commitment on the part of our Lord as the soles of His feet led up to the place of His crucifixion? Or will we be like Thomas, who said, you know, except I see in His hands the print of the nails, I won't believe. And then what of us? Jesus said, come after Me, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow Me. Intimating very clearly that His plan and His path of obedience for us is to make sure that the soles of our feet follow Him. That is, my dear friends, the acid test of genuine Christianity. My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me. They follow Me. Every time you buy in, every time you make purchase, you vote. Every step you take not only reveals the place of origin where you came from, but establishes the direction you're going and demonstrates to everybody around you what really is important to you. Today, people voted with their feet at Grace Baptist Church. Today, people will vote with their feet before the day is over at Grace Baptist Church. People voted with their feet this morning at Union Baptist Church, at Cornerstone Baptist Church. All across this great state in Pennsylvania, there was a voting going on. Would you pray with me? Lord, we understand that if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with You, with one another. May the soles of our feet delight You in the path. Thank You for God's people. We pray, Lord, that by Your Spirit that You will make impress into their heart and cause them to consider their direction for Jesus' sake. Amen.